Good morning. In Spanish, we would say buenos dias. Good to be here with you and to fellowship with you and to enjoy worship with you. God is alive and moving all over the world, and I just bring you greetings from our Mennonite Brethren mission. I was in meetings this past week here in Abbotsford, along with representatives from several different countries, from the Congo in Africa, from Laos, from Thailand, from Germany, from China, and where else? Myself from Africa as well, from India, and also from Mexico. So we gather together once a year to discuss how we can mobilize our churches in the areas that we come from to be sent out and to plant new churches and to go to the other nations of the world that still don't have the gospel. And what a great opportunity to be together with other brothers and sisters who are working in those countries and to encourage them and to challenge them and to train them how we can mobilize missionaries from other countries. Used to be that only missionaries went from Canada or the United States, but now missionaries are going from all over. And within our own family, Mennonite Brethren family, we have missionaries from Japan working in Thailand. We have missionaries from Uruguay working in France. We have missionaries from Colombia working in Mexico and in Panama, and many others. And God is doing this, raising up people like yourself to be involved in His mission. I also bring you greetings from the 11 Mennonite Brethren churches in Mexico. God is starting to move there in new ways, in different ways, and we are privileged to be there, to be a part of that, to work with you in partnership in taking the gospel to new people groups there. Just in January, three new churches joined our conference that were planted in the last couple of years, and so that's exciting to see new people, new churches coming to the Lord. What else can I tell you? Greetings from the Matthew Training Center. We went there 7.5 years ago with a vision to encourage the church to be involved in fulfilling the global cause, the Great Commission. And so we've been walking alongside them, and we've had this dream to train Mexicans to be sent out to the mission field. And at first, a lot of our pastors, or we only had a few churches then, but they were a little hesitant and wondering, you know, we don't even have enough money to pay our own pastors here. How are we going to think about sending out missionaries from Mexico? But little by little, we've been doing mission conferences and teaching and training, and they're getting the idea that we need to be sending missionaries out. That's part of our responsibility. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 is for the whole church. That means all the churches in the world, to take the whole gospel to the whole world, not just people up here. We often say that they're finally catching it, that you don't have to have blue eyes and blonde hair and big feet to be a missionary. They can be a missionary with their own life and their own being as Mexicans. So, bring your greetings from them and the churches and our Matthew Training Center. We just finished a training on Friday, a week ago. We had 10 adults from 5 different countries and 3 children training with us for 5 months. So we had somebody from Brazil, from Colombia, from Mexico, from Canada, and from the United States. What a great family. We all lived together. We had a lot of special speakers coming in. We did a lot of discipleship training. We went out as a group to different places. One of our Mexican girls wants to go to India as a missionary, and so she's moving down that path. Another wants to go to Angola, and she's a nurse. The Brazilian wants to go to Angola as well. And another, the Colombian, wants to work with indigenous people. So God is moving these people, preparing them, and getting ready to send them out. And you're a part of that with us as you support us and pray for us, and so we thank you for that. I want to talk this morning and share with you a little bit from Exodus chapter 4. So if you have Bibles and you'd like to turn there with me, we're going to look at just a few verses, and it's the story of Moses, and I'm sure you're all familiar with his story. But before we get right into that, I'd like to invite you to look in chapter 3, verse 8, and I'm going to ask a question. Who is on mission? We find the answer in this verse, chapter 3, verse 8 from Exodus. Who is on mission? And this is what it says. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So it's God speaking. I have come down to rescue them. Who is on mission? God. God has a mission. He has a plan. And it's if I had time, I could take you back right into Genesis and show how this plan is going all the way through Scripture, all the way through history, to rescue people, to bring the gospel to the nations. But there's other people on this mission as well. And so if we just jump down two verses to verse 10, chapter 3, God is saying, so now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. God is talking to Moses. And so we can see that God is including Moses on this mission that he has. And we know from Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the nations. That's for you and me. We all have a part in this major story that God is involved in bringing the gospel to the nations. We are all live actors, and we all have a specific role to play. Every time that God meets us, that every time He encounters us, He is heading in the same direction, that all peoples of the earth would know Him and glorify His name. God is on a mission, focused on it, and every time we encounter Him in one way or another, He is going in the same direction to fulfill that mission. And if we're not in track with that, we're going to kind of bounce off and go and do our own thing again. But if we get in line with Him, we will be able to see some great things happen and discover our role in helping fulfill that mission. So as we go through Scripture, we can see that God used and chose several people to bring that mission to a completion at different parts in history. Abraham had a major role to bless all the nations and the families. Someone said that the rest of the Bible is unfolding the covenant made with Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. A chosen people came out of his family, but they ended up in Egypt for 400 years, where they grew in number and in community, and becoming eventually a threat to Egypt. And we know from the story that they were crying for justice and mercy because of their terrible slavery, and that God had chose Moses to bring them to freedom and to show the whole world His power and His love and His forgiveness. So God moved Moses to do His mission, just as He is moving you and me into His mission. And the sooner that we can recognize that God is moving us towards fulfilling His mission in some way, the quicker it will happen, because we can be stubborn. We can ignore His invitations to move us towards Him and towards fulfilling His mission. And this is not just about being a full-time missionary, although that could be a part of it, but for all of us to be tracking with God wherever we are, doing our part. So it doesn't matter if we are lawyers or mechanics or missionaries. God has a part for us to fulfill in fulfilling His mission. So what God did with Moses was amazing. Moses was an ordinary shepherd in the desert. There was no fame, no glory, no power, no big goals. Nobody knew about Moses. He was out in the desert, almost lost by himself. 40 years, and I like to say it this way, of chasing stinky sheep in a desert, looking for water and for grass. Not very glamorous at all. 40 years is an entire lifetime for us, isn't it? God had worked many details in Moses' life in order to prepare him for that task that he had for him now. It's amazing how much God wants to involve every one of us in his mission and what he's doing to get us to that place. He is involved in our lives in intricate ways, and we need to be watching and listening for that. All through history, when God moves his mission forward, it is always through his people, through you and me. We see that in Scripture. We hear it from lots of different people throughout history, that's how God moves. If you can imagine with me the angels in heaven, when Jesus finally came back to heaven after being here on earth, and he's up with them in heaven, and it's the first time they get a chance to talk with him. I can imagine the angels are saying, "So Jesus, how was it? Did you finish the task? Did you fulfill the mission?" And Jesus is going, Yeah, I did. I did my part. It's over. You mean the whole world is saved? No. I've given that part to 12 people, 12 disciples that I spent time with, and I helped them understand the message, and I've sent them out to the nations, 12 people only, to go to the nations with this gospel, with the salvation. And the angels, I can imagine, are going, "Wait, you've given the entire gospel message, salvation, to just 12 people, and you're trusting them to do it?" Yep. "And what if they fail?" "They won't fail." "Oh, but they're human beings. They might fail, Jesus. Don't you have a plan B?" Jesus says there's no plan B. Totally trusting the disciples to do that. You and me, to take the gospel, this precious salvation story, to the nations. God has been working in your life since you were born, shaping you, preparing you for this particular mission. Maybe God today will move you in a different direction. Maybe he'll confirm what you're doing to keep on keeping on. But the burning bush encounter was not just about getting Moses to go help free the Hebrew slaves, but it was about going on a global mission with God. So after giving excuses that he had nothing to offer, that Moses was saying, "I'm just a nobody. I can't do this. I'm just a shepherd." God comes to Moses and he says three things. We're going to look at those in chapter 4, verse 2, and a couple other verses. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. But here's what God says to Moses in chapter 4, verse 2. And the Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" What is that in your hand? I can imagine Moses' response. He's going, "What? What are you talking about, God? This is a stick. This is a stick. It is a stinky shepherd's stick. I've been carrying it around for 40 years. There is really nothing special about it. What does it have to do with rescuing 2 million Hebrew slaves from the world's strongest and most feared ruler at that time, Pharaoh?" Moses wasn't getting it. The first thing we have to recognize in walking with God in his mission is that it isn't about us. It doesn't matter what we have in our hand or who we are or what kind of training we have or don't have, what we can or can't do, God can use it and he can use us. And he is asking you a question this morning. What do you have in your hand? God uses ordinary things and ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I don't know if you do this in your church, but I'm just going to take a little risk here. I'm going to ask you to tell your neighbor beside you. Find somebody beside you and tell them, "You are just an ordinary person." Okay, go ahead and say that. You're just an ordinary person, maybe a nobody. But tell them this, God will do extraordinary things through you. Do you believe it? Or are you just like Moses, thinking, nah, who am I? Now you never again can use the excuse that I am nothing or have nothing to offer in God's mission. You know what God did with Moses' smelly walking stick, right? All the miracles. But it really wasn't the stick. It was just the closest thing that he had that God could use. It could be anything or it could be nothing. In fact, we really don't need anything in our hand to fulfill the main task that he has left us with, and that is to make disciples. We can all do that without really anything in our hands. And it's probably the most least obeyed commandment in Scripture, to go out and make disciples. That's for all of us, right here in, where are we? Burnaby? Vancouver? Good enough for me. But that's what God wants us to do. So then God says to Moses, so it's just a smelly stick, eh? He's Canadian. Just a smelly stick, eh? And then he says to him in verse 3, the Lord said, throw it down on the ground. Throw it down on the ground. Little test. Now all of a sudden, what happens to the stick? It turns into a snake. I can imagine Moses was, whoa! What is going on here? This used to be my stick. It has now become a snake. And he would be quite familiar with snakes, being in the desert for 40 years. This principle and important lesson is so simple that we sometimes miss it. Throw it down. What does that mean? I think simply it means whatever you have in your hands that you're offering to God, in a way that you're saying, God, here it is. I'm giving it up to you. I'm throwing it down to you. You're releasing control. You're giving up your rights over it. No longer belongs to you. What could it be? Could be your career. It could be a favorite possession. It could be your children, a spouse. It could be your time, your spiritual gifts. And one by one, we need to throw them down. We need to give them up to God. Why? Because He will take it and do something very extraordinary with it. If you keep it in your hand under your own control, it won't amount to much. But if you give it up to God, He will be able to do something special with it. Jim Elliot, a missionary that went to the Ecuador many years ago, said this before he was martyred there. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's a good investment principle. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. There's no sense trying to guard things that we just cannot keep. Let's give it up for things that we can keep for eternity. Martin Luther said, I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all, but whatever I have placed in God's hand, that I still possess. The little boy gave up 5 loaves and 2 fish, and it multiplied. If God can do great things with a stick and a basket of loaves and fish, how much more can He do and will He do through you and through me if we are willing and obedient? Do you believe that? Maybe this will help you. God once spoke through a donkey. If God can speak through a donkey, can He speak through you and me? I hope so. Sometimes we're a little more stubborn even than donkeys. And then we come to verse 4. And it says, then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. Whoa. Pick it up. So we have God saying, what's in your hand? we need to examine to see, what do I have that I can actually give to God? The next step is we have to give it up to God. Even our spiritual gifts, even our ministries, or our careers, or our things, give it up to God and say, God, I'm giving it over to you. You do with it what you want. It is yours. And then God says, pick it up. What's that about? After 40 years in the desert, I think Moses could have lectured God on how not to pick up snakes. And here was God telling him to pick up this snake by its tail. You'd never pick up a snake by its tail. If you pick it up by its tail, its head is free to swing around and bite you. Yet God was telling him to do something that was contrary to what he knew best. Have you ever noticed that God sometimes calls us to do things that we're not comfortable with? We have to get over the fact that it isn't us doing it. It is him doing it through us. Doing uncomfortable things is just part of being on mission with God. Jesus had to do many uncomfortable things. Paul had to do many uncomfortable things. It's a test of obedience. On a couple of occasions, two occasions in Colombia, where we were missionaries for 15 years before we came to Mexico, we were assaulted by men that came into our house with guns, putting them to our heads, tying us up. Uncomfortable. We were with our disciples. We were at risk of being killed. That, for us, was a test. It was a part of being on mission with God. It was, in a small way, picking up a snake by its tail. A test of obedience and how to use our faith shoes. And he expects you and I to obey, even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it doesn't make sense. God takes whatever we have, and he can do the unimaginable with us. Just last November, I was up here in Canada, and we were raising funds for our Matthew Training Center, a center that we wanted to buy in order to continue to train Mexicans and Brazilians and Colombians and Canadians to understand their role in mission and to be sent out. But our focus is on Latinos in order to send out the Latino church. And we were still $190,000 short. We had been raising funds for several years. And I was maybe getting a little weary and maybe losing heart and maybe not having enough faith and wondering, is this ever going to happen? Several years praying and moving towards that. And yet, in the following few months after November till January, God just did the unimaginable. And he brought in all the funds. And we were able to purchase a one-acre property with enough space and rooms already built there for 70 beds. On February 1st, we purchased this building. And so we moved there with our trainees and finished our five-month training there just last Friday. And we're sensing God's presence and his love and his care as he's walking with us, helping us to train these people. And we invite any of you people that want to come down. We had a couple come from Saskatchewan with three children these last 5 months and lived with us and went through the training. Another couple from Calgary and then from Brazil and Colombia and different places. So God is bringing people to be discipled and to be trained and to be sent out. First, we have to recognize that we do have something to offer to God in the fulfillment of his mission. And then we have to be willing to throw it down, to give it up. And then he's saying to pick it up. I encourage you this morning to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. What is the Holy Spirit putting on your mind in terms of what do you have in your hand that he would like to use to fulfill his mission? And when we pick it up, then it starts this transformation process. And if you have your Bibles open in chapter 4, verse 20, there's just an interesting verse that really doesn't say a whole lot in terms of the larger picture of the story, but there's a truth in there, there's a nugget in there that we have to stop and just ponder. And I'm just going to read the last part of verse 20. And he took the staff of God in his hand. I don't know if you realized before, but this used to be called Moses' staff. What's in your hand, Moses? His staff. His stick to herd the sheep. And now all of a sudden, after it's gone through this process of throwing it down, picking it up, it becomes God's staff. Verse 20, it says that. It's God's staff. God's stick. That's an important principle. This shepherd stick, this stinky piece of wood that was Moses' staff, has now become God's staff, God's stick. That is an amazing change. An ordinary thing becomes special when it's turned into the ownership of God. God is all about changing us, about transforming us, so that we become God's children, God's servant. When Jesus was calling Peter in chapter 1 of John, for the first time they're meeting, they're actually seeing each other. And this is what Jesus says to Peter in chapter 1, verse 42. You can look it up later. But he says, "You are Simon, son of God. You will become Peter. You will be called Peter." Wow, what a transformation from being Simon to being Peter. God does that with all of us. He makes us into his children. He changes our things, our careers, our shovels, our aprons, our computers, our cars, our time, our gifts into his instruments for his mission. In order to fully embrace your role in God's drama and the fulfillment of his mission, you have to be in this process of transformation from the natural to the supernatural, from being humans to being children of God, from a wooden shepherd's staff to God's staff. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is a solemn process, giving up in order to become something different. Whatever we have and whoever we are must be thrown down and picked up again as God's instruments in order to be used correctly and by his power. I'll just close with a quick story from Mexico. We have a church, fairly new church. It just started a little over a year ago, actually officially over a year ago. And they've been, they're living, this church is in an area where it's just residents, just houses. It's in a gated community, one entrance, 1,000 homes inside, and there's no place to actually build a church. They're all homes. And so our pastor that lives there wanted to plant a church there. And so he got permission from the council to be able to put down canopies that you can buy in Costco, in between the median of two streets in this gated community, like that median that's out there, a little bit wider than that. And they put down a canopy and started having services. They have about 70 people now meeting in an open-air service every Sunday morning. And one day, Yvonne, a 28-year-old engineer, married with a child, was jogging by, and he stopped. "What is this?" "It's a church service." And he stays, and he gets impacted by God. He becomes a Christian, and the Lord just does a work in his heart, just really changes him, and he can't stay quiet about it. And so he leads his wife to the Lord, his child. He phones his two sisters who live in Chicago and leads them to the Lord. Goes out to his small town where he grew up, about 3 hours away. His parents still live there, 60 years old. Very traditional in the other religion there. And they accept Christ. And they get excited about it. And they want to plant a church in their little town. And then he shares with his brother-in-law, who's 40 years old, owns a large steel company in Mexico. This man has had lots of problems sleeping. He said, told me 2 months ago, I couldn't sleep. For years I couldn't sleep. I had demonic voices bothering me all the time. And I went to Cuba and I went to Colombia looking for shamans and for witch doctors to heal me. And none of them were able to heal me. And I spent $40,000 doing that. And I came back and Yvonne shared Jesus with me. And I have become a Christian. And I am now studying the Bible every day. I'm a busy businessman, but he says, and he showed me his journal, how he has not missed one day studying the Bible for devotions and reflecting and writing down what God is saying to him. His name is Jose. I encourage you to pray for him, as he is going to have opportunities to minister to lots of people that he comes in contact with his company. God is raising up people, freeing people, and sending them on mission to accomplish what God wants to do from Genesis to Revelation. God is calling people through history like you and me to give up what we have in our hands, to identify something in our hands, and it can be anything that God could use to fulfill His kingdom. I invite you to stand and let's pray together. Father in heaven, You are an amazing God. You have chosen all of us out of darkness into light. You've given us an opportunity to be forgiven and to walk with You, not just for our own benefit, not just to be blessed, but to be a blessing. We have things that we can use for Your kingdom's sake. Just as You used a stick in Moses' shepherding life, we know that whatever we have, You can use in some way. But we have to give that up to You. And I just pray this morning that Your Holy Spirit would be speaking to my dear brothers and sisters here this morning of what You want to use from their life in order to accomplish Your mission. Because it's only Your mission that will last. And we want to be able to stand before You someday and say, Lord, here's what I've given to You. Here's the fruit from my labor. Jesus, we love You. We want to serve You. We want to obey You. And we want to continue to walk with You, fulfilling Your mission, not our own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.